crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. And we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. Take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from the Radio Ranch this Thursday, September 19th. Wow, what a week it's been. What a time we live in. Praise God for that. Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. And got a few current events I want to talk to you about tonight. I think it'll be quite interesting. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer first. Well, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this this fall that you've given us, Lord, this season in your order, in your perfect timing. We thank you for a great summer that you gave us, Lord, and we pray and we thank you for this time that you give us. I thank you for this time at the Radio Ranch microphone as well, Lord, to fellowship with your people, Lord, to share current events and your scripture and the application of them with each other and the explanation. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you. I pray your wisdom, your guidance, your words to be, Lord, and your thoughts to be that you would let me think and say the correct things, the things that are pleasing to you and encouraging to your people. And we thank you, Lord. Help us to remember that regardless of what we see in the economy, in the world, in the nation, in our state, that, Lord, you are in control. And I thank you for that. Let us never forget that, Lord. Guide us and direct us. Let all that we do glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, Remnant, want to remind you, we're working on Volume 10 of the newsletter. Volume 8 and 9, you've got, should have in your hands, and I guess some people are liking it. We've had people order multiple copies and have sent them out and had us send them to their friends. And but it's Firearms and Freedom, Part 1 and Part 2 have been Volume 8 and Volume 9. And it comes from Colonel Moore's book by that title, Firearms and Freedom. And so Volume 10 we are working on now. And it's it'll be part 3, the wrap up of the Firearms and Freedom. And so hope you're enjoying it. It is just it's relative right now. You know, Colonel Moore put this together years ago. He had seen firsthand the communism that there in Korea, and he knew that Firearms and Freedom went hand in hand. And so if you don't think that that's a difference, you know, our Vice President Kamala Harris, that's running for president now, back in 2007, she had said, you know, this was in California, of course, but she said, if we need to come into the sanctity of your home, you may be a law-abiding citizen and have purchased your firearm legally, but if we need to come into the sanctity of your home to make sure that that firearm is secured, we will do that. So I just want you to know, our job is to let you know what these people say. This last week, she was speaking with the National Association of Black Journalists, and she said, we're not taking anybody's guns away, but we are going to have an AR-15 ban. This is a quote from her. She says, I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun owner. We're not trying to take anyone's guns away from them, but we do need an assault weapons ban. And see, there is no description of an assault weapon. It's whatever, you know, that's like an assault bat or an assault hammer. You know, I've got half a dozen hammers, and none of them are assault hammers that I know of, unless you take one and assault somebody with it. And I've got bats and hockey sticks and all axe handles and all kind of things. I guess they could all be assault bats if you assaulted someone with them. It's just that it. So anyway, that's just what they're saying. You know, AR-15s, AK-47s, SKSs, that's what the Democrats call assault weapons. And she made clear in 2019 that she would enact such a ban via executive action if elected. And anyway, just so you're aware of that. And so that's one of the reasons that we are doing our best to let you know, by men better than us, that wrote much better and were much more eloquent and wiser than us, but that we learned from, about firearms and freedom, because they do go hand in hand. They are You know, that's why we have the Second Amendment. That's why our founding fathers of this nation put that in, right? The First Amendment, the right to free speech, and the Second Amendment to protect the first and all the others. Has nothing to do with hunting, but on freedom. The scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We equate that liberty with freedom today. And that's how it should be. Well, some current events. Got some other current events. I saw that by Kamala Harris. That was just this week, I think. When she was talking with the National Association of Black Journalists, that was not very long ago. Yeah, just this week. And so, you know, they say, I'm not trying to take anyone's guns. Well, if I got an AR-15, you're trying to take that. And if you think my bat is an assault bat, you might try to take that too. And I don't take kindly to that. Anyway, that's what we're living today. Well, Remnant, I want to read to you Deuteronomy 28, because I think we are living this today as well. Deuteronomy 28, we talk a lot about Deuteronomy 28. And I hope that you are sharing Deuteronomy 28 with your friends and families, maybe whether they're believers or not. The song, I Love to Tell the Story. I think Alan Jackson's version best, but it goes, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, sing hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And so, I love to hear the story. I love to see in the scriptures what is happening in our lives, in our society. And Deuteronomy 28 is the great place to look and see and point that out to people and say, look, right here in the scripture, this is talking about us. Yes, it might have happened thousands of years ago, but guess what? It's happening right now for us today in our land. And that's exciting. That's exciting. Deuteronomy 28:33-34, a people whom you do not know will eat the produce of your ground and every product of your labor, and you will never be anything but oppressed and mistreated continually. You will be driven insane or mad by the sight of what you see. And see, that is what we are living today. We have a people whom we do not know that have invaded our land. You know, I had a person ask me the other day, early in the week, you know, now it's fall. We just had our 91st day, finished it up this week. Just had it Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning and finished up our 91st day. Moved from summer to fall. I think a good way that I try to remember of the or think of the 91st days are that they are they're Sabbaths between the seasons. They're a day between the season to give you an opportunity to kind of have a day off to thank the Lord and remember what he's done for us. But right before that, last week, had a person ask me, said, well, are you ready for the fall? And I said, which one? I wasn't sure if they meant the change of the seasons, because we've had a really good summer, or the fall of Babylon, the fall of our civilization. I had to ask them, which one? You know, good Lord willing, I'd like to think I'm ready for both of them. We've got some firewood cut, got more firewood to cut and stack, that's for sure. And hopefully if Babylon goes ahead and falls, that we're ready for that as well. So anyway, but we're living this invasion that we have. And, we've talked about it the last few weeks. The big push was, gangs down in Aurora. And then a couple Sundays ago, I think I mentioned to you, I saw some news reports. They were in El Paso, Texas as well. And then just this last week, we've seen another big influx. that, well, at least it's come to the attention of people about the Haitians, and mainly in Springfield, Ohio. The things that are going on there, the pets that have been taken, the ducks that have been taken, and not necessarily eaten, but sacrificed. See, it's not necessarily that they're cooking them up and eating them for dinner, but they're cutting their hearts out. They're eating and drinking their blood and eating their organs and things like for sacrifice, because they are, the Haitians practice voodoo. And it's just as simple. Now, the mainstream media, they deny it 9 days to Sunday. They certainly do. They're not going to come out and say, yeah, these Haitians, they practice voodoo. They drink blood, and they cut the heart out of chickens and ducks and doves and birds and pets and cats and dogs, and they eat. That's what they do. But we just have to accept it. See, you're not going to hear that from the mainstream media. And you go to Google it, and it's just denial after, oh, Snopes has said, no, that's just not, it's not accurate. And the fact checkers say, no, that's, you got partial misinformation here. Because that's how Babylon is. That's how it is. But, especially Springfield, about 58,000 to 60,000 residents there, and they've had from 20 to 30,000 Haitian migrants come in. Wrecks, just a mess there, an absolute mess. Got a quote here, says, these Haitians are running into trash cans, they're running into buildings, they're flipping cars in the middle of the street. Had one resident say that the roads are like Escape from New York, the old movie. He said, you don't know if you're going to get from point A to point B without getting run over, run into, or have a SUV flip over in front of you. And this is happening. And you know, it's not just Haitians in Springfield. Okay. It's not just there. Where was the other one? Charleroi. I probably didn't pronounce that right. Charleroi, Pennsylvania, like Springfield, also experiencing a growing number of, from a tidal wave of Haitian migrants over, it's increased over 2,000% there in Pennsylvania. And it says residents there in Pennsylvania have been flooding social media with reports that migrants are attacking people on the street and mugging them, stealing cars, and having traffic accidents all throughout the area. Now, this is what the people are saying. You know, that might not be what you're hearing on CNN. It might not be what you're seeing on MSNBC. You're sure not hearing it from Kamala Harris. No, she just cackles when ex-President Trump tries to bring it up. But this is happening. Now, Springfield is not a huge town. It's about twice the size of Laramie, but 60,000 people is not big. But then when you roll it to 80,000 and 20,000 of them don't understand running water and inside toilets and washing your hands before you eat and how to drive. It is an absolute invasion, and it's another point of it. It's another part of it. And we hear Scriptures for America. We, you know, our job is to warn you of it, to make you aware of it, to be the watchman on the wall and to blow the trumpet. Hey, warning, this is what is happening. It is. Let me read a little more in Deuteronomy 28. Read 33 and 34 about a people whom you don't know coming in and taking what's yours, you might say, eating your produce and you know, you work, but they get the benefit. Deuteronomy 28:42 and 43 says, the cricket will take possession of your trees and the produce of your ground. And you know that God's not warning here about a grasshopper. It's symbolic of like the locust of Joel. Okay. And so the cricket will take possession of your trees and the produce of your ground. See, that's your food and your increase. It says the stranger who is among you will rise above you higher and higher, and you will go down lower and lower. And you know, we have many strangers among us today. We do. And guess what? They go higher and higher. They make money during this economy. They make money when the stock market goes up, and they make money when the stock market goes down. And we've read about how if you're an illegal, you can get up to $150,000 towards a home purchase in California. Other places, it's $25,000 if you're an immigrant. Is the proper term that they want to use. We say illegal invader because that's what they are. Now, that's higher and higher. You know, it'd be great if my children could get a $150,000 grant or zero interest loan or something like that to buy a house. But my children that have bought houses, they didn't get any of that. It'd be also awful nice if they did, I think. So that is what's going on. That's kind of the big current events. I got a couple more here to go over with you real quick. But I want to read Psalms 119. Because, you know, even in the midst of this, we have to stay positive, folks. We do. And when we share these things with you, it's not to be a fear monger. It's not to cause fear. It's just to be aware. Okay, to be aware. And when we see these things, we have to remember, too, that it's Babylon that's falling. Okay, it's Babylon that's falling. It's not God's kingdom. It's God's kingdom that's coming in. That it's causing that separation between the wheat and the tares. That separation between the sheep and the goats. You read all about that throughout the scripture. Well, let me read here. Psalm 119, just a couple verses, 133 through 136. It says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant, and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed." Now, there's an awful lot there. Might develop that into a whole sermon one day. But 133 and 134 says, "Lord, teach me your word, your law, that I may obey your precepts. Your decrees are what I desire." That's your law, your word. Yes, love God and love your neighbor. And everything is based on that. Those are the greatest commandments. But, you know, that's a great start. But there's more to it than that. There is. 133 says, "Let no sin rule over me." What is sin? But transgression of God's law. Yeah, that same law that those Judeo-Christian Baal priests tell you has been done away with. Well, if the law has been done away with, sin has been done away with, and we still see plenty of sin in the land. And that lets us know that the law is still there. And then he says, "Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed." See, that's that sighing and groaning. Oh, Lord. And we do. We sigh and we groan at the abominations in the land. And when we do that, we have that is the mark of Christ. That is the mark of God. No, not the mark of the beast. That's all you hear about. But what about the mark of God? Well, that's when he went out through the land and said, "All those that sigh and groan and cry out at the abominations." Why? Because the law is not obeyed. Oh, the law is there. But it's not obeyed. So those that sigh and groan out and have streams of tears flowing from their eyes, you mark them and do them no harm. See, folks, we make it through this economic downturn that they talk about, right? We make it through it. Those that that seek the Lord, those that try, those that desire His word. So I hope that's encouraging to you. Again, this is Psalms 119. It's a big psalm, 133 through 136. And I hope you're familiar with it. Well, talking about law, Joshua 1:8 talks about it a little bit. Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, right, when the book of the law does not depart from your mouth, and you meditate in it day and night, and observe to do all according to all that is written in it, then you will make your way prosperous and have good success." Well, you know, it's kind of hard to see a lot of prosperity for the working class and success, and it's because the book of the law has departed. Because it has. You know, I mentioned to you Vice President Harris that's running. Well, her running mate had a interview last week with, TV station in Michigan. And in it, he states that Americans are better off economically than 4 years ago. Now, he must know some different Americans than I do, because the Americans that I know are not economically better off than 4 years ago. I've talked to several different groups and even asked them, do you have more money in savings? Do you have more money in your 401k? One guy told me just this week, he said, you know, if you had a certain amount of savings 4 years ago, it's worth 30% less today. So if you had $1,000 in savings 4 years ago, that's only worth $700 now, right? It's only 70%. It only buys $700 worth. Well, where'd that $300 go? Oh, it's gone. That's better off economically. Food prices, gas prices, everything is up. Insurance. You need to go to the dentist. It's almost double what it was just a few years ago. And, you know, there's more bankruptcy in the land, too. I saw this. I think I mentioned this Sunday morning. Big Lots, one of the latest that went out. 21, it's one of 21 major American retail and restaurant chains that have already declared bankruptcy in the first half of 24. Big Lots is just one of them. Okay? And that's just one of them. And then you've also had, I saw this report this past week, 33 major bank locations closed between July 14th and July 28th. Now, that's just six, eight weeks ago. Bank of America, Chase, Citizens, Dollar Bank, Wells Fargo, all types of banks. 33 major bank locations. Does that sound like a thriving and growing economy? And I say no, because it's not. We see these things happening, folks. And again, it's exciting to me to see them in Deuteronomy, to be able to share them with people and say, hey, have you looked at it this way? I've got some Judeo-Christian friends, and I keep pointing back to Deuteronomy 28 and asking them, have you read it? Do you not see that, you know, we were blessed, just like the first part of that. We were blessed for a while, this country was, but not anymore. Not anymore. Now we're in the curses part. Well, I'll finish up this part of my program here. Psalms 119 and Luke 11. I want to read that. Psalm 119, verse 2, back to Psalm 119. That's a good one. Says, happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. Happy are those who keep his law, statutes, and judgments. Right? Who keep his law, where his law says, love your neighbor. If you do that, you'll be happy. Happy are those who cast all their cares upon him. Happy are those who trust in him and lean not into their own understanding. Happy are those who believe that he works all things for good, for those that love him. See, that's where happiness is. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. Not just one day a week, not just when it benefits them, not just when it hits the fan, when there's a need for prayer or a need for healing or a need for another job or this or that, but always. See, there's happiness there. And then Jesus, got a quote from Jesus here in 11:28. It says, but he replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You see that verse right there, you would think, would just do away with the belief-only doctrine. I mean, we are, you know, you have to hear it to be able to obey it. You do. And Jesus didn't say here, blessed rather are those who hear the words of Jesus and obey it, but the word of God. That means all the way back from Genesis 1:1 in the beginning to the end where it says amen and amen in Revelation. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. How about that? Obey it. And you know, we would think, I remember Pastor taught, and I remember him teaching that, we think that if everybody obeyed the word of God, that everybody would be better off. But you know, it's just not that way. You know, the lawless, those that desire to break the law, those that do the will of their father, who is a murderer from the beginning, those that steal, kill, and destroy, see, they don't want the will of God. They don't want the word of God done. They don't want it read. They don't want it heard. They certainly don't want it done. I saw this. Old Howard Stern. I haven't heard from him in years. Of course, I don't listen to whatever that shock jock radio or whatever it is. I don't even know if that's still what he's doing. But a headline, I think it was a day or two ago. Howard Stern says he hates anyone that votes for Trump. And a quote from him, he says, they're stupid. I have no respect for them. I guess he's on Sirius. Sirius XM radio host Howard Stern said Monday that he doesn't hate former President Trump, but he hates people who support him. Well, guess what? I support President Trump, so I guess he hates me. Goes on, he says, I don't hate the guy Trump. He says, I hate the people who vote for him. I think they're stupid. I do. He said, I'll be honest with you. I have no respect for you if you vote for Trump, if you support Trump. Of course, then he goes on and parodies it, tries to compare him to Hitler and things like that. And so, you know, it reminded me of hate in the Bible. You know, the Bible talks about that. Jesus talked about hate. Do you know that? Jesus talked about hate. Oh, a lot of times people think, well, all Jesus did was talk about love. Love. Right? But you know, Jesus said, didn't he, that the world hated him without a cause, without reason, that they hated him without, you know, he had done nothing to the Pharisees or the Sadducees, other than expose them, I guess. I guess he did do that. But he said the world hated him without a cause, without a reason. And he said that if we followed him, that it would hate us also. Okay, that it would hate us also. So here you got this filthy, stinking, Christ-hating Jew, Howard Stern, hates all those that vote for Trump. Well, he is certainly of the world. He is certainly the foul-mouthed, anti-Christ, serious XM radio host. And if he hates me, I say, good. Good. And I think it does fall right in line with those scriptures. Now, if I'm wrong, you contact me and let me know. This isn't an official position of the ministry. No, this is just Richard on Thursday night talking to you, letting you know his opinion. But, you know, I did serve and work under Pastor Peters for 10 years, the last 10 years of his life. And, you know, it's been a few years since then that we've done our best to continue to put out pastor's teaching and Colonel Moore's and Pastor Jones and others that proclaim the truth of history and the truth of the Word. And when our enemies speak about hate, you know, the word talks about gnashing their teeth. And that's one of the things that I see the enemies of President Trump doing and the enemies of Christ in this day. And many times today, those are the same people. Okay? Many times they are. But in Lamentations 2, verse 16, it says, all your enemies have opened their mouths wide against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, surely this is the day for which we've waited. We've reached it. We've seen it. They think they've won. Back to Psalm 37, a couple verses here, starting in verse 11. Psalm 37:11 says, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Praise the Lord for that. I look forward to that day. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. And you know, that's not biting, but that's just, you know, it's like this this hatred, this grinding of the teeth that they do. It's a saying that they have. It goes on and says, the Lord laughs at him, for the Lord sees his day is coming. Verse 14 says, the wicked, this is Psalm 37, the wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. And don't we see that in the land today? Everything that is good and righteous and proper. Well, the sword and the bow of the wicked, they're weapons of destruction. They desire to destroy those who are upright in conduct. Don't we see that in the land? Verse 15 says, their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. Yeah, you want to know why God says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it? Because the righteous are sustained by the Lord. Verse 18 says, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. Verse 19, Remnant, I hope you hear this one and remember it. Psalm 37:19. They, that's the blameless, his inheritance, you can read about that in the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. His inheritance, the Lord's inheritance, are his people. You'll read that there. Those people will not be ashamed in the time of evil. See, folks, today is the time of evil. We live in evil times. But his people, we are not to be ashamed. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance. So is there a famine coming? There's already a famine for the word. But, you know, when there's a famine for the word in the land, it doesn't mean nobody has the word. Doesn't mean that it's not there at all. Oh, there's many that don't want to hear it. But happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all his heart. And this word says here, in those days of famine, those people, he's talking about me and you, Remnant, we will have abundance. But the wicked will perish. And the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. Poof. And they're gone. I look forward to that day. I look forward to that day. Another chapter of Psalms, Psalm 106, is another, I think, another great representation, just like Deuteronomy 28. Psalm 106, I think, is another representation, another summary, I guess, if you will, of where we are today. You know, this nation, we talk about it a lot, but we have new people coming on all along, and we're doing our best to bring them up to speed as well. But, you know, this nation was formed as a Christian nation. The Mayflower Compact says, to the glory of God and to further the Christian faith. And that reliance and trust in and lifestyle of Christianity continued into the settling of this country. And God's law was the law of the land probably for the first 300 years, up until the early 1900s. And that's when things started to change. And so Psalms 106, let me start in verse 35, because this certainly applies to this nation today, these people that received God's blessings. And that's us. That's me and you. No, not those antichrist over there blowing up pagers of Hamas. No, not talking about those people. I'm talking about God's people. You can read about God's people in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where he says, and when my people who are called by my name. See, God's people are called by his name. Well, what is God's name today? But Jesus Christ. And his people are called Christians, not Jews, Christians. That's who God's people are Christians. Psalm 106, verse 35. But they, that's our nation, mingled with the other nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with the blood. You know what the idols of Canaan are? You ever heard of Baal? You ever heard of Ashtoreth, the female deity? You ever heard of Molech? Do a word search on that one, Molech, if you're not familiar. M-O-L-E-C-H. A god of the Canaanites, the Amorites. That they would have this big bronze statue and have a raging fire in it. And after their sexual orgies, 9 months later, they'd have a little baby. And they'd bring it and sacrifice it to Molech, because that's what the other nations did. They sacrificed their children. They gave their, like it says here, their sons and their daughters. Oh, we don't call it Molech worship today. No, we call it women's reproductive rights to abortion. I saw a thing that said more black babies are aborted than born. I think it's that way with whites as well, because, you know, the white people aren't having enough children to replace the number of white people dying in America. That is happening. And that is by design, to wipe out Adam, to wipe out his descendants. And we are under attack from every direction. But that's what the Psalm 106:38, that's what it references, is that Molech worship. Look it up. Verse 39 says, thus they became unclean in their practices and played the harlot in their deeds. That means played the whore in all they did. They whored themselves, right? Anything for money. Anything for money. Verse 40, therefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his inheritance. Again, his inheritance, you can read it in Psalm 32, the Song of Moses. His people are his inheritance. And it says here that he was angry with them. Verse 41, then the Lord gave them, his people, into the hand of the nations. And those who hated them ruled over them. See, those that come to America today, you know, when America was truly a melting pot, the first 300 years, the pre-settling and the settling in the first 300 years of America, the people that came into America did not hate America or Americans. They loved them. They saw this as the land of opportunity. The land where you could come and with hard work and perseverance, you could become anything. The American dream, not the American nightmare. You know, you didn't have millions flood to France. You didn't have millions at any time in history flood to Cuba. You haven't had millions flood to Venezuela or China or Japan or Indonesia or Russia or any other nation in the world, in the history of the world. But those they came to America the first 300 years and before that America was in existence because of the American dream, not the American nightmare. And why was that? Well, because America's law of the land was the law of God. But as I've read in Psalm 106, as all the others came, well, then things started changing. About the last 100 years, 110 years or so. Verse 41 again, and God gave them into the hand of the nations, and those who hated them ruled over them. See, we're back in the days of Egypt. We're back in the same story that happened in Egypt, right? Joseph comes in and saves Egypt. But a few hundred years later, guess what? His people, his descendants, are slaves in this land that they saved. Do you not see the similarities here? And it was because they had played the harlot then, and we have played the harlot here, as the word says. And so those that hate us rule over us. See, we have a Pharaoh, a shadow government, you might say, that knows not Joseph or Joseph's God, just like happened in Egypt. This has happened again here. Verse 42 says, their enemies also oppressed them, and they were subdued under their power. Many times, verse 43, many times the Lord would deliver them. They, meaning us, the people, however, were rebellious in their counsel, and so sank down in their iniquity. Have we not sunken down in our iniquity? You know, we used to be a lender nation, and now we're a borrower. We used to be respected and loved in the world, but not anymore. Not anymore. No, we have sunk down in our iniquity. I hope these scriptures, folks, are... I know it's review for so many. I know that it is. It's review for me. But, you know, it's encouraging to me to read this, to see, oh, here's another tool. Man, maybe I can share this with Bill. You know, Bill doesn't understand this. Maybe this will help him see, you know, or Joan, when I'm talking with her, maybe this, my Judeo-Christian friends that just don't get it. And I know you have them as well. And you know, you can't read too much of the scripture, even when it's as prophetic and telling, and you might even say negative is this, right? Just because it just tells the truth. It's an ugly truth, but it tells the truth of what we have done and why we are as a nation in this position that we're in. But you know the very next verse. We read 43, many times God would deliver them, and they, however, were rebellious in their counsel, and so sank down in their iniquity. So just like the prodigal son, we as a nation are back in the pig slop. Just like the prodigal son. But verse 44, look at that. It says, nevertheless, the Lord looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. So see, just like in Egypt, when the people cried out, God heard. Just like 2 Chronicles 7:14 states, when my people who were called by my name turned from their wicked ways and stopped their rebellion and cry out to me, when he heard their cry. And see, that has to start with us individually. When we, as individuals, husbands, fathers, as head of the household, when you turn from your wicked ways and seek his decrees and seek him with all your heart and repent and are baptized and are washed in the blood and share in the death of Jesus Christ so that you can share in the glory of his resurrection. And you do that through baptism. You could read about that in the New Testament, Romans 5. Well, see, then it changes. See, then when you've cried out, then guess what? He looks upon your distress. You've heard me say, you know, Hosea 4:6, God says, you forget my law and I'll forget your children. And that is where we are today. But see, the flip side of that is true just like that is. You know, 2 plus 3 is 5. Well, guess what? 3 plus 2 is 5. 5 minus 3 is 2. 5 minus 2 is 3. It works both ways. So if God forgets our children when we forget his law, guess what happens when we remember his law? If I'm wrong, folks, tell me. Call me. Write me. Email. Send a smoke signal. Text something. But see, when we remember his law, he remembers our children. His word says it. He looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. When we turn to him, when we repent, when we come to that realization that the word says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we have a choice to make. Do we continue in that? Or do we say, you know what? Enough's enough. Enough's enough. And I got to, you know, just like I told you at the beginning, they asked me, are you ready for fall? Yeah. Yep, been getting ready all summer, if we're talking about the season. Been cutting wood, stacking wood. Got a little more insulating to do. Got a few more things to do, but I'm on the way getting ready. I am in the process. And that's what we need to be. Is we need to be in the process if we're not ready for him. Well, guys, I'm out of time. About out of voice, too. Thanks for tuning in. Sure appreciate it. Want to invite you to have coffee. We'd love to have a cup of coffee with you Saturday morning. You can join the Wranglers for coffee. Saturday morning, coffee with the Wranglers, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. Join us right here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network for coffee with the Wranglers. I hope you'll do that. We'll talk to you then. God bless.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, There arose across this nation people thinking one and the same.